house. So we go to the chart house that night, and we get there, and my kids are there. I'm excited to be with everybody. And that night, you know, we usually get great service at the chart house, but that night, I get the most extraordinary service you could possibly imagine. I mean, have you ever had a waiter or waitress that is so happy, so alive, so loving, so wonderful that, like, you can't wait for them to come back to the table to get another hit off of them? How many have ever been there? Say I. So if you remember what that felt like, this kid comes over and he is just a total joy to be around. I'm thinking, this is wonderful. And he takes care of my kids so well and he's so happy. And I'm thinking, wow, I got to tip this kid really well. And I thought, well, you know, I could tip him and I will. And that'll make him feel good for the moment. But boy, I'd love to do something that would be a moment he wouldn't forget on top of that. So I thought for a while and I came up with an idea. And so when he came over the next time, he walks over and says, how you doing? I said, excuse me, but I need to speak to your manager. He looks at me and he says, is there something wrong? I said, I need to speak to your manager. He said, well, Mr. Robbins, is there something I can do? I mean, have I done something wrong? Can I help you? I said, I need to speak to your manager. He's like, oh my God, okay. And he goes off. And why have I done this? Contrast. After this, anything will feel good by contrast. So he goes over to the manager, and you can see the manager when he gets the information, right? He's across the room, and he looks over at the table, and you can see his face go, oh, God, I got to deal with another one of those. It's one of those things, right? So he walks over like dead man walking, right? And he comes on over here, and he gets the table, and he looks up, and he says, you asked to speak to me? And I stand up, and I said, yes. Do you know who I am? He said, yes, Mr. Robbins, and we all know who you are. I said, you know something? I got to tell you something. I travel around the world. I'm on the road maybe 200 days a year. This is where I live. I come home, I want to be with my family, I want to have a nice meal. So where do I decide to come? The Chart House. I want to tell you something. Every time I come here, I get the most amazing service I can possibly imagine. He goes, I'm really sorry, Mr. Robbins. I really promise we'll fix it. I said, no, you're not listening to me. I said, every time I come here, I get the most extraordinary service a human being could hope for. He's like, oh, thank you. I said, but tonight is an exception. And he goes, oh. I said, this kid, what's his name? He said, Chris. I said, this kid, Chris, I gotta tell you something. I've eaten in the best restaurants in the world. I've eaten in the worst restaurants in the world. I have seen it all. This kid is the best waiter I've ever seen in my entire life. He goes, I'll be sure to correct him, Mr. Robbins. I promise you, I'll correct him. I'll straighten him out. I said, no, no, no. He's the best waiter I've ever seen anywhere. Finest restaurant in the world, doesn't matter. So I had said to him, the reason I wanted to bring you over here was to thank you. Because for us to have that great a service every time, and for you to attract a kid like this, I know whoever manages this place must be an extraordinary soul. And while it just may seem like a meal to you or to other people, I said, for me, this is the time to connect with my family. And to be this supported and this wonderful, you must be one unbelievable man, and I want to shake your hand and I want to thank you. He was like, oh my God, thank you, Mr. Robin. You know? And then he looked at me and he's like teary-eyed. And I said, I mean it. I said, I do all this stuff to tease you so you'd really hear me when I told you what I really want to tell you. And I said, I really want to thank you. I mean, from my heart. And this guy, you could just see him. He just blossomed, you know? And then he looked at me and he said, don't worry about Chris. I'll be sure to correct him. So sure enough, as he leaves my table, he walks like this. And he points at Chris and goes, and he's got this look, and Chris is walking up like this. And as he does it, all of a sudden you can see him talking to Chris in the distance, and all of a sudden you see Chris go from this to, and then, he's like totally juiced, right? Because what I also said to him is, I said, this kid, Chris, do whatever it takes. I said, I gotta tell you this too, keep this kid. He's the best you got. Give him more hours, give him a raise. I mean, you're insane, and I know you're not insane to be this good a manager if you don't give this kid a raise, and if you don't do it now. Grab this kid and keep him, right? So he's going all this stuff, right? He's all jumping up and down, so I figure something good's happening. Meanwhile, I turn to my daughter here at the table, and I said, Jolie, I said, ask the people at the table next to us what kind of service they got from this kid, because he was serving them too. And I said, if they get said that it was good, don't bother, but they say it's great or outstanding or something like that, say, tell them that what we want to do when he comes back across here is we want to stand up on our chairs when he comes back over here in the middle of the restaurant and give him a standing ovation and scream his name, Chris, 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 the whole time. He goes, oh, Dad, don't make me do this. I said, Jolie, do it. Right? So she goes over and says, my dad wants to know what kind of service you're getting. And they're, oh, unbelievable thing. Well, my dad wants to stand up on our chairs and clap and stuff. And they're like, and this one woman at the table said, we'll do it. She obviously was the woman with leverage at that table, right? So sure enough, Chris, he gets whatever news he gets. He's euphoric, man. He's like climbing over to us, right? You know, skipping and stuff, right? And when he gets about two-thirds of the way across, I go, now. And we all jump up on our chairs in the middle of the restaurant, nice restaurant, and go, yes, Chris. And the whole room starts, the whole restaurant turns and looks, and he's like. So by the time he comes over and his mouth's hanging open. And he said, you guys are so great to me. Oh, my God. And he went on and on. He was like near teary-eyed. And he said, why'd you do this? He said, my boss just gave me a raise. He said, you told him he should give me a raise. And he agreed. And he said, why'd you do this? And he was like both like happy but also kind of emotional, you know. And then he got really teary-eyed. He said, man, why would you do this? And I just looked at him. Everything was quiet. And I said, why would we not? I said, you're part of our team. I said, you treat us like team members. You treat us like we're a family. I said, we noticed that, so we are. And we did for you what we would do for any family member. I said, so I'm really glad you deserve this. I said, we really love you. And he started to cry. And then my daughter started to cry. And I got a little teary-eyed, right? And he came over and gave us this big hug, you know? And it was really wonderful. And we left that night, we didn't just have a meal. We created a moment. See, at the end of your life, I don't think you're going to remember all the experiences of your life. I just don't. I think you'll remember certain moments. And you can create them, or you can hope they show up every once in a while. Rarely does a good idea interrupt you. Rarely does a quality of life just happen. It must be created and constructed with conscious thought, caring, and desire. That's what makes a great life. It'll be a great story if it ended there, but it didn't. Because, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks later, I came back into town. I really wanted to go to the restaurant. We get to the restaurant. It's a very popular place, and there's an hour and a half wait, and I hate waiting, so I was like, we're out of here. As we're about to leave, I hear, oh, Mr. Robbins, and it's Chris. He goes, oh, it's Mr. Robbins. We have a table for you, Mr. Robbins. Come here. And I'm like, yes. You know? I'm like, yeah, what you put out comes back. And it didn't end there. About 2 or 3 months later, we rented the big room they have right on the ocean, and we had, I don't know, 50, 60 people over a business meeting, you know, and we had a big meal with everybody, and it was wonderful. Great food, great service, great everything. You know, I knew the bill would be sizable, but it was what I expected, obviously. Bill came, it was sizable, you know? But then it had a big red X through it. And it said, no charge for family. Thanks, Mr. Robbins. Isn't that cool? The Chart House, what a classy group of people. Isn't that neat? Class act. Doesn't end there. My daughter at the time, I think, was about 14, 15 years old. I think she was just turning 15. And she was getting concerned about having a car. Now, I don't know if you have the same challenge as I do in this area, but I grew up with absolutely nothing. Since I've earned everything I have in my life, including all my economics, I have a great deal of pride because I built the muscle myself. No one gave it to me. So I have some self-esteem that comes from that. And I want my kids to have that same self-esteem, but I also would love to just spoil them because, geez, I can. I could give them any car they want, no question. So I'm torn. I don't know if you have that experience too of like wanting to help, but wanting them to have the growth. It's a tough place to be. So the way I try to resolve that is, you know, I try to get them to earn important things, and if they do a good job, I usually just throw it in anyway. Or sometimes I just surprise them and do cool things and spoil them for the moment and then back up later on and have them earn something else. And so when my daughter wanted, she knew I'd get her any car, and I said, I will not buy you a car under any circumstances. You must earn it. So I said, here's what you do. If you stay a straight-A student in school, I'll give you this much. I will double whatever you earn working for somebody else if you stay a straight-A student. That'll get you your car much faster. If you're a straight-A student and you become an entrepreneur, I'll loan you $1,000 to start your business, and I'll triple whatever you make as your profits. Right? Well, she didn't want to be an entrepreneur, so that was okay. So she wanted a job, but the thing she ran into at 14 is nobody would hire her, right? Just turned 15, I think. You have to be like 17 in most of these places to get a job, places she wanted to work anyway. And one of the places she really wanted to work was the Chart House, because she just loved that environment and serving people and so forth, and you had to be 17 to be there. Of course, you know, those are the rules for non-family members. So next thing I know, my daughter's working there, right? She's the hostess, and everything's cool. We're now really are visiting family whenever we go there, right? Doesn't end there. While she was there, Jolie, met her first real boyfriend. And she was 15 and he was 21, and I had to show him my gun collection. But the, but he's a great kid, really great kid. And he had a really great heart, and he understood that that's what he needed to exercise most. And the, and so, and he was really into the arts and entertainment, and he really got Jolie interested in what she later became, which is an actress. She's been on Broadway, and she's actually was on a TV show last night. And he's the one who really got her interested in all this stuff. And he was really a wonderful man with really great values. I kept pointing out that he was a man, however, but still. The bottom line is, it was really wonderful. And I remember one day, Jolie came home, and she was like, you know how people are when they're totally in love? She's dancing and singing, and you know, everything is wonderful, you know, and what's going on? I'm so in love, right? So in the middle of this, I said, hey, Joe, what made all this possible, this magical relationship you have with him? She said, we looked across the salad bar. I said, yeah, I understand that, but I mean, what made that possible? She went, what do you mean? I said, how come you met him? She goes, well, I met him at work. I said, huh? And how did you get that work? And she thought for a moment. And then she got really teary-eyed. It was really emotional. And she said, oh my God, it was that day when we acknowledged Chris, huh? I said, that's right, honey. I said, the chain never ends. When you do something good, the chain that comes from it never ends. You may not notice it, but it never ends. I said, because you were loving and warm to this man and did something that felt a little weird. That led to you working here, and your working here led to you meeting this man. You meeting this man that led to this great love affair you have. I said, so maybe standing up on a chair and clapping Chris was not such a bad thing. Just give me a big hug. Story didn't end there. Chris came to work for Robin's Research. Many of you in this room are actually work with Chris. He's one of our PARs, one of the people that works with our account representatives. And many of you in this room are here because of him. His name is Chris Hendrickson. And he's one of the top people in our group as well. So let me work with Chris. Doesn't end there. Chris talked to a man named Martin Sheen once many years ago when I was first doing my infomercials, and Martin had a great deal of credibility. He's never really endorsed anything. He's very strong in his beliefs. And he believed in Chris enough to try my tapes. The tapes changed his life. He and I developed a great friendship. Out of that, he appeared in my show, and I reached millions of other people who wouldn't listen to me, some big guy with teeth, but they were willing to listen to Martin. And so I reached millions of people because of Chris. Didn't end there. I needed someone who could help me because I generate so much new material for all the things that I do. I have a whole creative department. I have 8 people that work full time to keep up with what I'm constantly daily coming up with and downloading. And I needed someone to head up that department. And Chris told me about this woman that was one of his customers who he said was unbelievable, convinced me to interview her. I did. She came to work for me. And most of what I create is done through her and my team. All because of Chris too.